On today's show, a lot happened in the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets get a big win. Dave Watson from Locked On Bulls. Nick Enk said Locked On Mavs. We got all the games for you and our favorite.
Count it up.
We'll talk about that and play Count It Up on today's Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome. You're locked on to the NBA. My name is Nick Engstead, host of the Locked On Mavericks podcast. Thanks for making Locked On NBA your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you can subscribe to this channel. You can subscribe to our channels, Locked On Mavs, Locked On Bulls. And joining me, as always, on Thursday, host of Locked On Bulls, what you got for me, Dave Watson?
I got nothing but sadness because my team got beat up today. So,
yeah. Well, misery loves company here today on this show.
I couldn't do it without you, Nick. I couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, both of our teams getting losses. But let's start with, we're breaking out every single game in the association. Hopefully we won't miss one like last week. The Brooklyn Nets against the Chicago Bulls. The Brooklyn Nets get the win. Finally, they get a win against a good team, an elite team in the NBA. But the Brooklyn Nets win 138-112. Dave, does the final score give us a good enough picture of what this game was like?
Yeah, it was a beating. And it started in the second half, I would say. It was tied at 71. From that point on, they went on a 42-8 run. That's crazy. Yeah. Now I did. You heard me correctly. 42-8. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving just showed why, you know, they're the cream of the crop. Like, it was just the stars came out for that game, and the Bulls didn't really have anything for them. Derrick Jones Jr. went down very early in the game, like the first 35 seconds into the game. I hope he's all right, because it didn't look good. That knee injury he went down with did not look good at all. So we're hoping to hear some good news, maybe a sprain or something like that, but it didn't look right. After that, we had to bring in Alphonso McKinney. I know a lot of you all just said, who? And I understand. But Alphonso McKinney came in, and after that, Kevin Durant was like, ooh, lunch. He just completely went to work on him. James Harden was just incredible also. He was classic James Harden. Something we haven't seen in a full year, I would say. He looked like himself. I believe he had 15 or 16 assists along with the points that he scored, man. But, yeah, they came and they dominated the Bulls. That's just what happened.
You've watched this Bulls team every single day. You know, you follow the team really closely. Obviously, you've seen this Nets team from afar, like, gain stars and then lose stars and now gain a third star back again. Are these teams in two separate tiers? If you're going to tier the East, or you still put the Bulls up there with the Nets as like the top teams in the East right now?
Oh, I mean, their record says it is that they're up there. So I'll have to stick with that. When the season started, I had the Bulls at about the sixth seed because I thought that's where they would end up at. I didn't expect it to gel so quickly as it's gelled for them. And great. It's been awesome to watch it. It's been amazing. I enjoy being wrong about all of that. That's awesome. But I still feel the same way I felt going into the season, that you still Milwaukee, it's still the Nets, Philly still worries me, and Miami. And after those four teams, I think that's kind of where the Bulls come in at. But the difference is, and on this one, is I knew Alex Caruso wasn't there, and he's a huge part of that defense. And I know Javonte Green wasn't there. He's our starting forward for a reason. So they were missing some pieces, and that's not to say it's an excuse. It's just that I know that they were missing those key pieces for them. And so they didn't look like, themselves when they were playing the Nets out there, but yeah, I'd have them in just outside the top five, if not in the top five for sure.
Well, and also, I mean, this is a loss that you've had for a while, but Patrick Williams not playing for the Bulls too, like him and Caruso being back would make a big difference. And sometimes people, it feels like they hype up Caruso so much. Like, why does that guy make such a big difference? But you see it on this Bulls team where him and Lonzo as the backcourt defenders just disrupt so much in the backcourt that it changes the way this Bulls team defends, right? Just having one more credible guy defending, because LaVine and DeRozan, they're getting buckets. They're doing their thing on offense. But, man, you can score on those guys at will sometimes. And when you have Kyrie and Kevin Durant and James Harden. You can score on those two guys. So you need two of those elite type level defensive players. Plus, Vooch is back there defending the paint. And I'm not sure. Can Vooch be putting enough pick and rolls every single game? Like, how many times do you just see that where they're like, oh, they figured it out? They're putting Vooch in a pick and roll again. You have to have those two elite guys at a spot, or else, I mean, you're starting Derrick Jones Jr. Like, okay, he's fine, but he's not on Caruso's level defensively, and it just changes a lot for this Bulls team defensively.
Yeah, and you see it. Like, you're watching it. The past 2 weeks, it seems like they're giving up 110 and 115 points, like, every single game. They're really struggling defensively. They've dropped to 22nd in defense. Like, when they came in, you know, they were top 10 in both offense and defense. And now, you know, they dropped to 15th, and they dropped a little bit more. And this is all since Caruso has gone out. You know what I mean? Like, he is that important to this defense and to that second unit as well. He's that important of a guy. Because without him, you've got to depend on guys like Ayo Dosunmu, who's been awesome for the Chicago Bulls as a rookie. He's been great. But you saw tonight, you were like, oh, yeah, he's a rookie. You saw it tonight. You were like, oh, Ayo's a rookie. Oh, God, I forgot about that. So, yeah, he is vitally important, Alex Caruso is. And Javonte Green also, just because he provides such a different option. You know, he can actually irritate Kevin Durant. Nobody's stopping him. I'm not saying he's going to stop him, but he can definitely irritate him. And he can provide offensive rebounding, and he's got the athleticism. And he just provides that energy, you know, that kind of spark that the Bulls needed. Because you saw without him in there, man, they had no energy. They were a low-energy starting five out there without him out there. But it's okay. It's an L. We're still number one in the East. Then we'll move forward, and, yeah, we'll take this whooping and keep on moving.
Kevin Durant, 27 points on 10 shots tonight. I mean.
Oh, vicious. I mean, it's nothing you can do about this dude. He's a robot. Like,
I mean, James Harden, 25 points on 13 shots, and De'Ron Sharp had 20 points on 14 shots in this game. I mean, this was just the Nets, when they put it all together, they have those guys that can all score 20. When Kyrie only had 9 in this one. I mean,
he didn't. Yeah, right, exactly.
He didn't even go off. This is a different kind of team that now that Kyrie is back that we haven't seen yet. And East and the rest of the league is on notice basically with this team.
And the thing is, it's interesting because with Harden, he looked like James Harden that I remember tonight. But basically by the fact that I saw him get 2 fouls while he was shooting a 3-point shot. He got fouled twice.
He's like, finally, my game is returned.
Yes, thank you. Yes, now I can go do this. And you saw that's part of his game. He's got to get to the free throw line. So when he gets to that free throw line, it's easier for him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He had 2 3-point shots that he got to, 2 of them, and he got to the free throw line on there. So it was that kind of night. So after that, he was cooking. Durant was cooking, and we just got beat down. It's really nothing else to it.
It was like when Shang-Chi's dad like put away the rings for a while and then brought them back and put the rings back on, and he's like, my foul's on a 3. Let's go. I'm back. I've returned.
I remember this. The power. Yes. You're watching the supervillain being reborn. Yeah, right. That's all that was. Yeah. He was like, yes, for so long they had me in shackles. No more. You know, got real Shakespearean, like Megatron getting out the ice or something. You know, it's crazy, man. But yeah, they beat them.
Cleveland Cavaliers get a win in Utah against the really tiny Jazz. They were playing. They were playing like just the low notes. They weren't playing any high notes in this game. The Jazz were 111-91 for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They went on a run in the third quarter, a 21-run, fueled by Lamar Stevens. No, not Darius Garland, not Evan Mobley, not Jared Allen, not Lauren Markkanen even. By Lamar Stevens. He scored a career-high 23 points. He just scored his career-high 3 days ago against the Warriors. So this guy only scores his career-high against the best teams in the NBA, the Warriors and then the Jazz in this one. Weird thing for the Jazz in this one. Rudy Gobert still on health and safety protocols. Hassan Whiteside still on health and safety protocols. They didn't have any centers in this game. Eric Paschal was the biggest player that played, or maybe Bogdanovich was the biggest player that played for the Jazz in this one. They started Royce O'Neal at center with Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and so they just didn't have any size at all. And the Cavs, on the other hand, they're still starting their Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Lowry Markkanen, like this massive lineup. So it looked like Monstars level of size in this game. But Joe Ingles also, he gets tossed in the second quarter. He was ready to not play in this game. He got 2 technical fouls early, about A couple of just ticky-tack fouls that he didn't get foul calls on. He ended up getting tossed. But real quick, count it up. A little preview for our game later. Mike Conley ended this game as a minus five, which is pretty good in a game you lose by 20. But he was just a minus five in his plus minus. According to our boss, David Locke, that's the first time he's been negative in the plus minus in a box score since Thanksgiving.
Wow.
That's a wild. That's a long time for a guy like that. Utah now falls to fourth in the West. They're on a four-game losing streak. Memphis has now overtaken them in the West standing. But this Cavs team, I mean, we have to talk quickly about this Cavs team. Should we be giving this Cavs team more respect? Because they're without Colin Sexton for the rest of the year, without Ricky Rubio the rest of the year. Okoro was also out in this game. Garland gets the triple-double. This team is like as legit, I feel like, as the Grizzlies on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the Grizzlies level, but yeah, they're definitely a legit team. They're a legit serious team, man. Like you said, Darius Garland is the real deal. Like, he is a real deal, true point guard, man. I love watching him play. He makes everybody better around him. I've always liked Jared Allen. I liked him when he was with the Nets. I thought that he could be just a great center for Cleveland, you know, with what he does, just up and down the floor, block shots, get rebounds, and dunk the basketball. Yeah, he does that well. And he put a little touch on it, too, every once in a while. But that's what he does. But they really hit is when Mobley is truly
work, man.
Oh, my goodness, man. He is the one. 15, 10, and 7.
Assists. Like, we have to say assists because you don't know if it's steals or blocks or, you know, if you put them like together. But, yeah, 7 assists for him in this game. Like,
that stuff is insane, man. And again, another rookie that we're talking about here that just doesn't look like one. You know, he's so smooth, man. And he understands how big he is and uses his size well. But yet he's got that touch and he's got that finesse to his game also, man. So he reminds me a lot of Chris Bosh when I watch him play, man. That's who I think of when I look at him. But
yeah, if Chris Bosh he's a monster defender.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't trash, you know what I mean? But I feel you. But monster is different. Yeah. And let me tell you, the tallest player, though, for the Jazz, it was Joe Ingles. Because Joe Ingles is 6'8". Joe Ingles is the tallest active player.
Bogdanović
is 6'6". Bogdanović is 6'6". I'm telling you, Bogdanović is 6'6", man. Bogdanović is a 6'6 guard. Is a 6'6 player. I will put 50 cents on it.
Oh, Basketball Reference listed him at 6'7". Didn't we do the...
right there. Right there.
Didn't we just do the audit on players that needed to like have the correct heights a couple years ago? Like when they did the... no longer will JJ Barea be listed as 6 feet anymore. We have to rectify this. All right, coming up, we got more games. Ben Simmons, maybe packaged with Tobias Harris. We'll talk about maybe some of the packages they could send out, where that rumor came from, and got all the rest of the games to talk about. Speaking of counting it up, PrizePicks.com has you for everything you need for daily fantasy. We've been telling you about PrizePicks for months. If you haven't signed up yet, it's time now, because you have the NFL playoffs, you have the NBA still going on, you still have some college basketball you can put down some money on. For a limited time, PrizePicks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for our users. Get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePick entry scores a single point. You must use the code NBA. That's right, an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans using the code NBA. For PrizePicks, you put down a player. Let's say, I don't know, somebody like Joe Burrow, Joey B, if you want to put him down. You can pick the over-under on his yards that he's going to throw per game. And then you can also go take like DeMar DeRozan. Let's say they have 25 points for him in a specific game. You can pick the over-under for that. You can combine those two, put down like $40, and you can win a bunch of money on that as well. So go check it out. You can go to prizepicks.com today. Go to your app store and download the app. Use that promo code NBA. Get $50 free if your first PrizePicks entry scores a single point. Go to PrizePicks. It's PrizePicks. It's daily fantasy made easy. All right, Big Dave, let's get back into these games. A lot of stuff happening in the NBA tonight, but the Charlotte Hornets get a comeback win against the Philadelphia 76ers, 109-98. The Charlotte Hornets, man, sometimes they win some games, and you're like, ooh, I didn't know that. I forgot about the Charlotte Hornets, but they get a win in this one. Gordon Hayward with 30 points, 7 assists for him. LaMelo just 13, but 7 and 8, still filling up the box score. Scary Terry with 22, and then Miles Bridges with 20 on his own. They only played 8 players in this game, the Hornets did. Really short rotation there.
Wow. The Hornets, man, they are such an interesting team. Like, they're so much fun to watch, you know, because of LaMelo and Bridges and guys like that. But then you're like, well, they're fun, but can they be good? You know, because they go up and they go down. And then against a team like Philly, who I think is just really a serious basketball team, especially when they got everybody healthy, when they're going against them and it's close, and then they just break it open against them, and then they don't lose the lead, because, of course, Philly is that good of a team. They're going to come back on you. You know, if you break it open in the third quarter, I don't care if it's a 20-point lead, they're going to come back on you. You got Curry out there. You got Harris. I mean, it's just what it is. But they stood that wave, man, and they got in there, and they continued to play great basketball and continued to just frustrate them on the offensive end. That's the reason they won that game. They were frustrating me on the offensive end. And here's something I heard that was weird. That was really weird to me that I heard. Not one Charlotte Hornet on the roster had ever won in Philly until
today. As a Hornet or just like in general in their career?
Not one Charlotte Hornet on the roster had ever won in Philly,
man,
until tonight. That's how it was said. That is crazy. So they exercised some demons right there by getting that victory, man.
The cheesesteak sweats just coming off of the Hornets. And like, finally got that win. Finally got it in
there. Finally. No more pets.
So in this one, Tobias Harris, 17 points, 8 boards, 5 assists. He is now circulating in trade rumors, according to Brian Windhorst and Mark Spears on their ESPN podcast. There's a ton of them. According to Mark Spears, I'm hearing the Sixers want to include Tobias. And then Brian Windhorst comes in and says, well, me too. I'm hearing that same thing. And so now they're thinking maybe a package of Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, which sounds like a lot of money. If you're like, wait, how would they ever possibly do that? You're correct in thinking that, because right now Tobias Harris making $35.9 million, it's basically $36 million, and Ben Simmons making $33 million. Ooh. So you're talking about $69 million to try and trade. Mm. So essentially $70 million to trade to somebody else. But the Sixers are now positioning this as, well, it opens us up to trade for a power forward or bring back somebody like that. So I don't know, John Collins, Domantas Sabonis, did any of these names pique your interest? Is this Simmons thing going to happen? Is the Tobias Harris thing a step forward for them, or is this just more noise?
First of all, I like your pause on that number right there. That was hilarious. But I don't know. I think it could be a thing, honestly, because Atlanta, I think, is going to be the team that's going to be moving the most, because
they've
underperformed. You know what I'm saying? They have all the talent, and they definitely underperformed. But Philly, man, like it's not like they're at a point that like we'll take anything, you know, to get rid of Ben Simmons. We'll do whatever it takes to get rid of him. They've dug their heels in. They're going to wait this out. But they still want to get something. Still want to get something for him, which is why they're like, you know what? We'll give you Tobias Harris too. You know, like, here, take that too. Like, that's not helping, because that's 30 plus something million dollars or something like that. But there might be a team out there, Lakers, I'm looking at you, that say, you know what? We need a guy, you know, to help our team. We need somebody to help elevate it. Because it's not like Tobias Harris isn't a good basketball player. He could definitely help a team on both ends of the floor. He's good offensively and defensively. So that's, it's going to be so interesting these next couple weeks, man. And just seeing what they're going to do with this. Because Ben Simmons cannot be there. He's going to have to be traded. He can't be there if they're playing any noise in the playoffs. Just, you've got to get rid of that. You know, it's got to get off your team.
And to me, it's like, at what point are you wasting Joel Embiid? Like a fairly healthy Joel Embiid season too, right? I mean, how many more years is he going to have in him where he's playing at this level before we have to start talking about, well, we have to now Joel Embiid be the second best team on a champion, second best player in a championship team. So you wonder what kind of thoughts go through Daryl Morey's head. Now, you mentioned the Lakers as maybe a team. I'm not sure Daryl Morey's doing the Westbrook thing again, right? Like, he's gone down that path, and I'm not sure we're going down that path. But it just takes out more. It just seems like every team there's a roadblock. There's a roadblock of, well, this team wouldn't work. This team doesn't have enough for Daryl Morey. Okay, Fox and Halliburton were offered to the Sixers, and Daryl Morey turned it down. You're like, okay, well, who has better than those two young guys to offer them? It's interesting to see. Yeah. I don't think this changes anything. I think this is, you know, Daryl Morey's like, well, I'm asking for the moon. Why don't I just give you one more thing that we think is valuable that you probably don't think is valuable, but we do, right? Like, let me just try to sweeten the pot, and I'm not sure it's sweetening the pot.
Right, he's like, here's an actual pot. Like, this is what I'm going to give you right there. Like, it's nothing in there, but more no, no, no. Like, no, it's, no, it's a pot.
You
though.
Get to fill it. Like, you can put anything in it. It's your pot. You get to decide what to do with it. Like, no, Daryl, come on.
The options are endless. Like the possibilities are endless, oh, man.
Speaking of the pot being empty, the Dallas Mavericks lose 85-108 to the New York Knicks in Madison Square Garden. This Mavericks team had been – this is well the done. Team I covered. They had been on a six-game winning streak. Their defense was incredible. Over the last 2 weeks, they have been the best defensive team in the NBA, which is not what the Mavericks normally do. But they went back to what the Mavericks normally do. Besides, they didn't play offense well. Mavericks shot 21% in this game. Just absolutely brutal offensive game on every level for the Mavericks. This game started with Luka lobbing the ball up to Dwight Powell for an alley-oop with a wide-open paint. Nobody between him and the basket. Completely missed the ball. And that's basically how the rest of the game went for the Mavericks. Luka Doncic just had 21-11-5, which most players, that would be an incredible game for them. But for Luka, we yawn at it and say that it wasn't very good for him. For the New York Knicks, though, RJ Barrett, 32.7 boards for him. He was pretty good and actually outplayed Luka in a lot of this, in the paint, scoring from all three levels and all that. And just a good team win for the Knicks starters, really. All the Knicks starters were all between plus 22 and plus 29 in this one. They just really took care of business in that facet of the game. This Knicks team, though, they're back to, 20-20? They're back to 500. Mm-hmm. And this is the exact same record they had. They're 21-21 this year. They were 20-20 to start the year last year. Are the Knicks just going to do the same thing that they did last year in starting the year 500? Which was actually better than we expected them to be last year. And then they just completely exceeded expectations and rose the way they did. Are we just seeing the same thing?
No, it's different. It's different. I know it's the same. I'm telling you, it's different, man. Like, because, again, you mentioned it. Last year, nobody expected it. Like, them being 500 was a surprise. Like, they were throwing parades in the street because they were 500 basketball
team. 500 record last year. Now they're opposite. What's the opposite of bing bong for them right now?
I don't know, bong bing, like might be, like, just flip it over. I don't know, it's not working for them. But I know, like, this year is different because they had to work to get back to 500 because they had dropped completely off the radar to people. You know what I mean? They weren't even being discussed and talked about, whereas they were being discussed as a team that would be like, maybe they might be a top five team in the East. Because so there were expectations on this year. So for them to still be exactly where they were last year when there were no expectations. No, that's not the same. You know what I mean? And hopefully they'll figure that out. But I don't know what it is. But I don't know, man. Tibbs is Tibbs. Tibbs going to Tibbs.
Yeah, they're also obviously a completely different team with that backcourt that they have. You know, trying to figure out how to defend with Fournier, and then when Kemba plays, it's really interesting to try and see them get to where they were last year and defend that level, because their defense is really what fueled that run last year, and we just haven't really seen them get to that level. True. And it hasn't been there offensively enough to where that makes up for the lack of defense that they can play. So, we'll see with the New York Knicks, but it's fascinating that the exact same record that they were a year ago they finished the year may conclude how their season goes. All right, coming up, let's play our favorite game where we will go through and give our levels of confidence. We will count up how many teams can trade for this player. We'll count up how many rotation players are out for a team. All kinds of different things we can count it up. But before we do, let me tell you about betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to put down some money on sports. If you feel like you're like in the NFL, where are your Chicago Bears? They're not in this?
Really? Was that even necessary? Was it even necessary? Like, I mean, my whole everything was open right there, man.
Cincinnati Bengals, a 5-point favorite against the Raiders. The Bengals beat them. Home Go playoff ahead, game. As someone that has been a Bengals fan since childhood, I am terrified of this game as a home playoff game.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Where you're favored. Yuck. But if you feel good about that, or if you want to capitalize on my fear, go ahead and bet on the Raiders +5. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. They also have NBA games. They have other kinds of stuff, boxing. You can bet on golf, hockey, anything you want to bet on. BetOnline has it. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get a 50% welcome bonus whenever you put money in your account. The lines are moving all the time, too, so you got to come back. Right now, the Chiefs, only a 12.5-point favorite. They were like 13.5 the other day. So that's changing. If you feel like they're two touchdown favorite against the Steelers, which, come on, the Steelers, really? Come on. Big Ben, really? Gonna make up a 2-touchdown deficit? I don't think so. You can go bet on them. Bet online where the game starts. All right, Big Dave. Let's play our favorite game every single week we play. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Count it up, where we count up all kinds of things in the NBA. Let's start with the Miami Heat versus the Atlanta Hawks. The Miami Heat get the win. Last week, I remember you and I talked about how it was the most Heat culture win we had ever seen. They may have done it again. It seems like every single week they do it. This one, they did actually have Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, and Tyler Hero. So they actually had some rotation players there for them. They get the win over the Atlanta Hawks, 115-91. The Atlanta Hawks had pretty much everybody. Guys that were out with them, they still had Capella out and Cam Reddish, but they had everybody else available for them. The Miami Heat. Let's just do a little quick, just do a little count it. 11-4 without Bam and Butler this year. This team is really taking advantage of this time and really like extending their run here without Butler and Bam. But they get this win. Atlanta has now lost 9 games at home. Our friend Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks said they haven't won a home game since Thanksgiving. That's 2 stats I've given you since Thanksgiving. Something is going on with the NBA. DeAndre Hunter comes back for the first time for the Hawks. It's good to have him back. But this Hawks team, man, like their offense was brutal in this game, even against the Heat team that didn't have Bam and Butler. They only scored 91 points. They only take 82 shots. They shot under 30% from the three. Trae Young finishes with 15 points, 5 assists, only 4 turnovers, but still didn't shoot the ball well. Let's play it. Panic button, level trade for the Hawks. Where are you at with the panic button? One being, no, it's okay. We can stay. We only have to make fringe moves on the edges, and we don't have to make a big trade. Or 5 is, no, we got to make a big, huge move right now because we're not going in a good direction.
1 to 5, it's a 4.
Ooh.
They've got to do something, man. They're 17-23. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And not just the Eastern Conference Finals. They went pretty deep.
Eastern Conference Finals. And they won some games.
Yeah. No. I'm saying in that game, they won some games. They went pretty deep in the Eastern Conference Finals where people were like, no, they're going to get swept and put out of there. No, they won a couple games in the Eastern Conference Finals. They went pretty deep there. So when you come into this year, again, like I said with the Knicks, you come in with expectations. Guys are looking at you. You know, guys are like, okay, what do you got? And, of course, they've been hit with COVID like every other team has been. You know, it's just what it is. But they are stacked. They have so much talent on their team, man. From young guys to older guys, they got a bunch of talent on their team. It's no excuse for them to be 17-23 with all the talent that they have. Honestly, like, just so many players they could play, man. And DeAndre Hunter, of course, you got Trae Young. You know, you got Cam Reddish out there, too.
Recently has been a really good player for them.
I mean, John Collins is a beast. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is a monster. So every time I look and I see that they aren't getting these wins, even Gallinari and Herter, who was solid for them last year, too. Like, but when I see they're not getting these wins, it's a little frustrating. And when I see that, I'm like, well, I don't think they'll fire the coach midseason like they did last year. Because they fired him for him.
Right.
He took you to the Eastern Conference Finals. So he's going to stay. So I think your next move is to get off some of this talent. You know what I'm saying? And get them out of there and try to just right the ship and just try to smooth it out a little bit, man. But they got
to
do something.
Yeah, I think I'm at a 3. I feel like they need to consolidate. I'm not sure it's a panic level. I feel like there's other problems that they can address with, you know, just players. It's like players showing intensity and players just, you know, like showing up to play kind of. But I do think they do need to make some kind of move and consolidate some of that talent, like you said, because they got a guy like Cam Reddish who wants to be one thing and isn't playing the way that, you know, the Hawks want him. And you got to send him somewhere else and take advantage of that talent, because if he's just going to keep playing like this, then, you know, it's not going to his value is not going to go up, really, the way he's been playing lately. Didn't play in this game, but still. That's where we're at with them. Boston versus the Indiana Pacers. Boston gets a win in the fourth quarter. They took advantage of a lead. You should go listen to John Corrales' Locked On Now from Locked On Celtics. He was like surprised. He's like, wait, hold on. The Celtics kept a lead in the fourth quarter, and ended up, it's really weird how they've been talking about this team. But Tatum and Brown combined for 67 points. The Pacers scored 56 points in the paint, and they lose this game. Just a weird one for them. The Celtics are now back to 500, so they get this win. It's kind of surprising. Good for Tatum and Brown, but back to 500. That's just not a place where we thought this team would be. And the Pacers are now 15-27. They're prone to move some of these guys now. But which team are you more disappointed in? Let's just count it. I don't know, one or two. Pick one of the numbers. Boston or the Pacers? Which team are you more disappointed in compared to your expectations at the beginning of the season?
Wow, that's a tough question too. But
I think you came up with.
I'm gonna say two. I know, and that's why I'm giving myself credit right here. That is an awesome tough question.
Like, no, you texted me that one today.
Thank you, Big Dave. You're welcome, Big Dave. Good job. I'm gonna say two though, but I'm gonna say the Pacers, man. The Pacers are shockingly bad to me. And that's what it's crazy. I mean, all the talent, you got Sabonis, LeVert, you got Miles Turner, you got Malcolm Brogdon, who's always like a 20-point scorer on your team. You go back and you get Lance to make them dance to interject, you know, something into your team, and you're still losing. Holiday is a solid player. And then you got your boy, Rick Carlisle, coming back home.
Don't put that on me.
You know what I'm saying? In Indiana. That's your boy. Is that not your boy or not? That's your boy. No, you won a title with him. That's your boy. All right. That's your guy. You got
to
take everybody on the team, sir. Can't leave nobody off.
He's
part of it. All right. For the rest of your days, he is your guy, Rick Carlisle. He wants you a title.
Hanging out with Rick Carlisle.
There you go. Yep, him too. You got to take Deshaun. Shout out to Deshaun Stevenson. I like you.
Just quaffed him.
But man, dude, you know you got hair tips and pages. You know you want to hear some hair tips and pages. So y'all, come on now. But the Pacers are disappointing, man. And not only that, I mean, you got an all-star guy like Sabonis on your team. You got all-star caliber guy, I think, in Miles Turner on your team, man. And Caris LeVert, I've always liked Caris LeVert, man. I always thought he was a really, really excellent point guard and really good player. The fact they have all that and they're so below 500 and they're not even, you know, really in anything. They're just floating along. And then it comes out a few weeks ago, like, yeah, we're looking to trade everybody. Like, we're looking to get these guys out of here. And then they respond, they're like, well, yeah, we want to leave. You know, it's so chaotic right now. It's just surprising to me.
I thought for sure Rick Carlisle would come in and organize this team to get them to be playing way better than Bjorkgren did, right? Like all the stuff with Bjorkgren last year and then the assistant coach that was yelling at Goga Batazzi and all that stuff. Like, they had all that weird drama last year. And this year, they have the 17th ranked net rating, according to Cleaning the Glass, which is like middle of the pack. They should be like a 500 team right now. They've just lost so many close games and so many games in the fourth quarter. This is not a team that should have this record. It's been so strange to see. Right. So I think I'm with you that I'm more disappointed in this Pacers team, but this Celtics team is not far behind, right? To have another team with a new coach that came in that was supposed to change things up, that was supposed to shake it up, that was supposed to give them new life, that was supposed to take them to this next level. And yes, they've dealt with a lot of COVID. I think they've had the most missed games due to COVID from any team in the NBA, I'm pretty sure. Go check John Corrales on that. He'll verify my math or not. But this team has missed a lot of players and guys have been gone and it disrupts your chemistry and everything. But a lot of these guys have played together for a long time. Like, even the new acquisitions are like Al Horford, who has been on this team like a while, like before. And so it's interesting to see this team be 500 and it kind of be a celebration. So you have to be disappointed in the Celtics. Yeah. Right now, like, they're behind the Raptors, the Hornets, the Wizards, and the Cavs. That just should not be, and the Sixers without Ben Simmons. That should not be a thing that we're talking about at this point. So yeah,
no,
I may actually lean more. I'm disappointed, more disappointed in the Celtics this year, but I'm not sure.
No, I don't know, because it's different. Because for the Celtics, for me, like, you bring in a brand new coach, and then the guy who was your coach is now doing a job he's never done ever.
True. Both of them doing a job they've never done.
Both of them doing a job, but, you know, at least one, you know, was actually sitting next to the job. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, true.
At least that. But now it's like, it's very like, when I saw that setup, I'm like, well, I'm not surprised if they're going to struggle or anything like that. But at the same time, it's disappointing because you got two elite basketball players on your team, two guys who can score 50 on your team on any given night. Like tonight, they both had 30. So you got two guys like that on your squad. You're not supposed to be down in the dumps like this, man. So they should be better too as well. I don't disagree.
Orlando against the Washington Wizards. Orlando falls 106-112. The Wizards get the win. This one, Beal out with health and safety protocols. Kyle Kuzma had a triple-double yeeted, yanked from his grasp. He almost had it. He had 9 assists, and it was just right there at the end, taken away from him by an extra skip pass from Corey Kispert. Just take the shot. Just take the shot, Corey. Do your guy a solid on the team. This was a weird one because Orlando cuts the lead to 5 with 5 minutes to go in the game. And Orlando just can't get enough buckets down the stretch. Terrence Ross goes 0-4. A bunch of other guys miss a bunch of shots. But the 13 points scored by the Wizards in the last 5 minutes to basically seal this game, all by Montrezl Harrell and KCP. They got in the altercation, and then they win the game for the Wizards the next night. Incredible comeback, I guess, for those guys. We could really make this happen, the Wizards said.
Can make a difference for the Magic, though.
Listen to the injury list that the Magic have right now. This is not health and safety protocols. This is just straight up hurt, like straight up injuries. Jonathan Isaac, Markelle Fultz, Wendell Carter Jr., Jalen Suggs, Mo Bamba, Etuan Moore, Michael Carter Williams. Now, how many of those players would actually start for the Orlando Magic? And I'll as you're thinking about it, I'll give you the starting lineup. Franz Wagner, Chuma Okeke, Robin Lopez, Gary Harris, and Cole Anthony. How many of those players that I mentioned before would start? Because I think for me, it's Isaac for sure would start. Fultz and Wendell, probably. Is Suggs starting right now? Maybe not over Cole Anthony. He's playing really well.
Maybe not.
I don't know. Would you throw Mo Bamba in there too? Mo Bamba had a really good start to the year. Is that five players that would start on this Orlando Magic team?
That was the number I was going to say. It's five. Yes.
You can talk me into Cole Anthony, the season he's had that he would play. He almost had a triple-double in this game, too. He had 19, 11, and 9. But Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs is the one that I would question. But five starters basically out for the Magic.
That's so crazy, man. Like, it's what happens to young up-and-coming teams right now, you know? They play hard. They're always scrappy. Every time I watch them, they're playing hard, and they're always scrappy, and they're always in every single game. But you know they're going to lose. Because they don't have, you know, that guy on their team yet because they're so young. They haven't figured out how to win yet. They're still learning. And so when you're going through that, you're going to get those injuries also with that. I know this well because I watched it for 4 years here in Chicago. I know exactly how that looks. And this is exactly what it reminds me of, you know, just that scrappiness, that toughness. You know that they're not going to pull it out in the end. But they're like, wow, they were in the game, though. You know, it was a close game and everything like that. So, yeah, man, they got – they're still rebuilding, but I like their team. I like the players they have on their team, man. But they're still learning.
Though. Wizards still get learning. Thomas Bryant back for the first time. Rui Hachimura plays in just his third game. He's finally back from injury. So both those guys returning from injury. All right, real quick one. How many players are in the Wizards rotation right now or should be in the Wizards rotation? Because this is the team I feel like has just the most dudes. They have so many dudes. Like if you just go based on like, all right, let's just go oldest. All right, Raul Neto's the oldest. He's probably in the rotation, right? Davis Bertans next. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Spencer Dinwiddie, Bradley Beal, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, Aaron Holiday, Thomas Bryant, Rui Hachimura, Daniel Gafford, Corey Kispert, and Denny Avdija. Any of those players you think should be out of the rotation? Like maybe Davis Bertans, maybe. But that's 13 players I just named. You can't even play all those players. There's so many of them.
Dude, Bertans might make the most money. He might make the most money out of everybody there. So he's got to play. Yeah, man. Like, he's got to play. You have no choice. That's so crazy, man. They have so many guys on the team, right? And so much size as well, too. You know what I mean? Like, they're not small at all. Like, I'm watching their rotations that they do with Daniel Gafford and Montrezl Harrell is always interesting to me because Gaffer will be in there like the whole fourth quarter, and then the last 3 minutes left, they're like, "All right, come sit next to us." Like, wait a minute, like I've been playing this whole game while we're putting Montrezl in. Like, that's what's gonna happen. Oh man, dude, I don't know. It's an interesting team, man. It's such an interesting team, and their fall was kind of what the people thought was gonna happen to the Bulls as well. Like, and then they're gonna fall off and come back to earth. But theirs is they falling, but I think they'll just stay like, you know, kind of level, you know, middle of the pack kind of thing. But yeah, man, there's so many dudes on their team.
How many dudes do the Wizards have? That was our counted up, basically. For them. All right. We didn't start with this game. Are you guys happy? We didn't do the Lakers are falling and we have to talk about the Lakers first. We saved them for next to last. Lakers fall 116 to 125. The Kings, I talked to Locked On Kings host Matt George today, and he was just like, He said, I've never been more emotionally detached of a season this year than this Kings season. And yet they get this big win against the Lakers by 19 points. The Lakers, man, they're without Anthony Davis still. They're without Melo and they're without Kendrick Nunn. He still hasn't played. Allowed 70 points in the paint. This Lakers team. Wow. Still, I guess still Dwight Howard played, but they've been starting LeBron at center and just allowed so many points in the paint. Mm. It's not working for them between LeBron. Like their starting lineup, LeBron, Ariza, Avery Bradley, and Westbrook. Like those dudes, I mean, how close are they all to getting AARP cards? Like they're pretty close. All right. How many realistic teams could even stomach a trade for Westbrook? Because it just seems like this is not working out for the Lakers right now.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Maybe two could probably stomach one, you know, because not only do you have to make room for him just as a player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Knowing that he's just that, how his game is, he got to have the ball. He's got to do all that. You got to make room for that contract on top of that. Cause he's making 40 plus mil. Like that man is making some change right there. I don't know, man. That's tough. Probably like two teams and they're not good.
It doesn't seem like there's many. Like we were talking about before, maybe you could do a weird, like send him back to Washington for other things. Right. And that's how then Washington gets off Davis Bertans' contract and weird stuff like that. Minnesota with D'Lo's 30 million. Like maybe they could figure out a way, but you just start looking around the league and you're like, this Lakers team may just be stuck with Westbrook. There are not many options to trade him, and they may have to just figure it out. Like just suck it up and figure out how you're going to get these guys to play. Now, we haven't seen a lot of LeBron, AD, and Westbrook all play together. I think they've played like less than 20 games or something like that. So this Lakers team could still figure it out, I guess, with those guys. But it is not looking up. It's not looking up right now.
It's not. The Lakers team. It's not, man. They are struggling.
Good for the Kings. That's all I got to say about them.
Yeah. He's such a kind person.
good for the Kings to win this one. De'Aaron Fox, 29 points. Good for him. Last one from us.
Good for you.
The Houston Rockets get the win 128 against the San Antonio Spurs 124. If you want to get your offense right, go play the San Antonio Spurs because it seems like any team has that. DeJounte Murray, 32 points, 10 boards, 11 assists, a career high. He finally scored 30 points. He hadn't scored 30 points in his entire NBA career. He's played 5 years. He scored at least 20 points in each of his first five seasons, but had never gotten that 30 mark yet, which is pretty wild for him to finally get that. All right. Let's do this one for DeJounte Murray. What level of star is he? This is something we're going to do going forward. You got 1 to 5. So a one star player is like, they're starting to get there. They're starting to become a star. Like maybe I would put like Cade Cunningham there right now. He's like starting to become a star. You're starting to see it in some games. He has the potential. A five star is Kevin Durant or Giannis. They're there. They're five star stars right now. What level of star is DeJounte Murray right now? Is he just getting there as a one, or is he maybe even higher now?
I say he's like 1.5.
I'm going
0.5s, baby. That's right. We're going 0.5s out here. We're gonna do it like old school star search. Like I'm gonna give him a 0.5. Yeah, baby. Shout out Ed McMahon, rest in peace. Man, because look at his numbers though. His numbers tell you that he's right there on the cusp of it. You know, like you said, the 18, what is it, 8-8?
He's 18 points he's game, averaging 8 boards, it. 9 assists per game, 2 steals per game, leading the league.
That's right there. That's right there on the cusp. Now, one, he's going to need a winning team to go with that, obviously. But two, he's going to have to get to that 20. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're telling me, yo, you're averaging 28-9, that sounds like star stuff right there when you can say that to someone. 18-8-9 sounds like a solid season. Like you're just kicking it off. Like, you know what? He's having a really good season right now. Like, we'll see if he can grow from that and duplicate that. So getting that points per game average up, like you said, that's why it was big that he got his first ever 30-point game. That was big for him, man. So, I mean, but he's almost averaging a triple-double, man. Like, and like you said, lead the league in steals on top of that. Like, That's star stuff. So he's right there. I'm giving him 1.5.
All right, last one, the Houston Rockets. Eric Gordon, 31 points on 10 shots for him in this game. Just a hyper-efficient game for him. Count it up. How many days left for Eric Gordon on the Rockets? There are 28 days now between today, as you're listening and watching this on Thursday, and the trade deadline. How many days left for Eric Gordon?
I'd say 24.
Right before 24 the trade deadline, he's good.
Right before the trade deadline, he's out of there, man. Eric Gordon, he's gonna really help another team, man. I've always liked him. It's been sad, you know, that he's dealt with so many injuries, you know, throughout his career and things like that. But he can really, really help a team, man, with his size and his shooting, man. That's a physical guy right there, too, man. So I think, yeah, 24. Give me 24 like it's Jack Bauer.
Give me 27 like he's, I don't know, who's 27? I can't think of anybody 27.
Daniel Tice.
27 like Daniel Tice. He's only making $18 million, too. So it's not like he's making 30-something million where it's just so hard to find a deal for him. That's a deal somebody could actually stomach. So, yeah, give me to the trade deadline. They're going to hold him out for the best possible thing they can get. But Eric Gordon's going to be on some kind of contender, some kind of team trying to get into the playoffs, and he'll help them. So there you go. That's all the games in the association. We broke them all down. There you go. Nick Hank said, Locked On Mavericks. Go subscribe to our channel. Go subscribe to Big Dave with Matt Peck on Locked On Bulls. Great stuff all the time. Guys, thanks so much for listening to Locked On NBA. Boom!